Welcome in. Today we're building one of the most useful drum and bass sounds you can learn as a beginner, a warm sine sub, plus a separate texture layer on top. This is the glue bass. It's the thing that fills the low end smoothly without fighting your kick, but still stays audible when your drums get busy and your break edits are flying past. The trick is simple. We're not trying to make one mega bass patch that does everything. We're building two layers that each do one job really well. By the end, you'll have a bass group with a sub layer that's pure and stable, and a mid-texture layer that's gritty, moving a little bit, and easy to hear on smaller speakers. Then we'll glue them together and give you a clean arrangement move for an intro and a drop. Alright, let's set it up. First, set your project tempo to 174 BPM. That's a classic pocket for rollers, fast enough to feel like drum and bass, but not so fast that everything feels rushed. Create a MIDI track and name it Bass or Bass Group. Inside it, make two MIDI tracks, one called SUB and one called Texture. Then group them so you can control them together. In Ableton, select both tracks and hit CMD or Control plus G. Now you've got one bass fader that controls the whole instrument. Before we touch sound design, a quick teacher move that saves you later. Gain staging. You want headroom while you build. If you start with everything slamming near 0 dB, you'll end up fixing issues with compressors and limiters that are really just level problems. So here's the target. When you solo the sub layer later, aim for peaks around minus 12 to minus 6 dB on that track meter. Not because those numbers are magical, but because it keeps your mix flexible. Cool. Now let's build the sub. Go to the SUB track. Drop an operator. Keep it simple. Oscillator A only. Sine wave. Default algorithm is fine. We're not doing FM sound design today. We're doing stable low end. Now add a saturator after operator. Set drive somewhere between 2 and 5 dB. Start at 3 dB. Turn on soft clip. The point here is not to distort it into a fuzz bass. It's to add a little harmonic support so the sub feels warm and slightly more present without losing its fundamental. A big mistake. People crank distortion on the sub and wonder why the low end gets flabby. If your sub suddenly feels smaller even though it's louder, back off the drive. Next add EQ8. Generally, do not high pass your sub. That's like cutting the legs off the table and then asking why it wobbles. If it feels muddy, do a small dip around 200 to 300 Hz. Try minus 2 to minus 4 dB, Q around 1.2. Keep it gentle. You're not sculpting a mid bass, you're just removing a little fog if it's there. Then add utility. Make the sub mono. Set width to 0%. If your version of Live has bass mono, you can use that. But the simplest beginner move is just set width to 0 on the sub track. Clubs want mono low end. Phones don't care, but clubs definitely do. At this point, you should have a sub that feels round, stable, and clean. Now let's write a bassline, because sound design without a groove is kind of a trap. You'll make decisions that don't hold up once the pattern starts moving. Create a 1-bar MIDI clip. Set your grid to 1/16. For the key, try F minor. It's a drum and bass favorite, because it sits nicely with a lot of drum samples and gives you a dark, solid root. Use F1 as your main note. That's a good sub-register. Then for little bits of movement, occasionally use G1 or D#1. Rhythm-wise, we're going for a roller feel. Several short notes per bar with a bit of syncopation. If you know the 1E and a count, try hits on 1, 1E, 2 and 3, 3A and 4 and. If that sounded confusing, ignore the counting and do this instead. Place about 5 to 7 notes in the bar, keep most of them short, and listen for bounce against your drums. Your ears will tell you when it rolls. Keep velocities fairly consistent. Sub should not randomly jump in volume unless you're doing a very intentional accent pattern. Now we're going to make it groove with the kick, because drum and bass is all about the relationship between kick, snare, and bass. Add a compressor on the bass group, or put one on each layer if you want more control. Turn on sidechain. Set audio from to your kick track. Start with ratio 4 to 1. Attack around 5 to 15 milliseconds. That lets the bass transient poke through a tiny bit so it doesn't sound like it's being sucked away instantly. Release around 60 to 120 milliseconds. You want it to breathe in time with the rhythm. Then lower the threshold until you see around 2 to 5 dB of gain reduction when the kick hits. Listen for this. The kick should feel like it punches through without you needing to turn it way up. The bass should feel like it's stepping back politely. Extra coaching tip. Don't rely only on sidechain. Timing is huge. Try nudging a few bass notes slightly later by 5 to 15 milliseconds. You can do this with note nudge in the MIDI clip or with track delay. That tiny delay can make the kick transient feel cleaner, even with lighter compression. It's a very producer move, and it's subtle in the best way. Alright, now the texture layer. This is where the bass becomes readable on laptops and phones, and where you get character without ruining the sub. Go to the texture track, drop in operator again. You can use a sine or a triangle to start. Triangle will naturally give a bit more harmonic content, which can help. Either is fine, because we're about to add saturation anyway. Now add saturator after the instrument. This time, more drive, 6 to 12 dB, dart around 8 dB, soft clip-on. This is your audible edge. Then add auto filter. Use a low pass 24 dB slope. Set cutoff somewhere in the 250 to 800 Hz range. Dart around 500 Hz. Add just a touch of resonance, like 10 to 20%, so the filter has a little personality. Now add movement, but keep it tasteful. Turn on the LFO in auto filter. Sync it to the tempo. Try a rate of 1/8 or 1/4. Set the amount small. This is not dubstep wobble. It's more like gentle motion, so the mid layer feels alive and doesn't mask your drums in a static way. Dart with LFO phase at 0 degrees. Next, EQ 8, and this is the most important part of layering. High pass the texture so it does not fight the sub. Turn on a high pass filter and set it around 150 Hz to start. If your sub is really strong, push that up a little, like 160 to 220 Hz. If your sub feels lighter, you can set it a bit lower, like 120 to 160, so the texture supports some upper bass weight. The rule is simple. The sub owns the low end, the texture stays out of its way. If the texture needs more hearability, try a gentle bell boost somewhere around 700 Hz to 1.5 kHz. Keep it subtle. If you boost too hard, it'll sound like a separate synth, and we want it to feel like one bass. Then add utility on the texture. You can widen the texture a bit, like 120 to 160%. This is optional, but it's a great trick. Mono sub for stability, wider mids for size. If the mix starts getting messy or facey, pull it back. Quick phase check trick. On the texture utility, briefly hit phase invert left and right. Even though you high pass the texture, sometimes the crossover region can still partially cancel. Choose the setting that gives you the most stable low end and the strongest center feeling. Now we glue the two layers on the bass group so it feels like one instrument. On the bass group, add EQ 8 for light cleanup. If it's boomy, try a small dip around 120 to 200 Hz. If it's boxy, dip around 250 to 400. Keep these moves small, like -1 to -3 dB. If you start carving huge chunks, it usually means one of the layers is stepping on the other, and you should fix the crossover first. Then add a saturator very gently. Drive 1 to 3 dB, soft clip-on. This is that final finish density, not a distortion effect. Then add a limiter just as a safety net. We're not trying to win loudness here. We just don't want random peaks to smack the master. At this point, you should have a bass that feels like sub equals weight, texture equals definition, together equals one coherent sound. Now let's make it feel like drum and bass in an arrangement. Make an 8-bar loop. Bars 1 through 4 are your intro or tease. Let the sub play the full pattern. Keep the texture darker. In auto filter, lower the cutoff to around 250 to 350 Hz, and you can keep the texture a little narrower too. This makes room for drums and builds anticipation. Bars 5 through 8 are the drop or main section. Open the texture filter. Try 500 to 900 Hz depending on how aggressive you want it. Add maybe 1 to 2 dB more drive on the texture saturator. Small changes, big perception. Then add a tiny varination at bar 8 so it turns around nicely. That can be one extra note, or a slightly longer held note, or even a micro-mute moment, where you remove the sub for an eighth note right before a snare. That vacuum makes the next hit feel huge without actually increasing level. Now, common beginner mistakes to avoid, because these will absolutely happen if you don't watch for them. First, the texture layer accidentally has low end, because you forgot the high pass. That causes mud, and your sub will feel weaker even if it's loud. Second, too much distortion on the sub. Warmth is good, fuzz is not, at least not on the pure sub layer. Third, stereo sub. It can feel wide in headphones, but collapses weirdly in mono systems and can get unstable in a club. Mono it. Fourth, overwobbling. Rollers usually want subtle movement. If the bass starts sounding like it's doing tricks, it might pull attention away from the drums. Fifth, ignoring the kick relationship. If the kick isn't reading clearly, fix timing, note lengths, and sidechain before you start eking everything to death. Now a quick mini practice exercise you can do right after this lesson. Build the two-layer setup exactly as we did. Then write two different two-bar patterns. Pattern A, mostly F1 with one passing note. Pattern B, more syncopated, a few more 16th notes. Then automate the texture filter cutoff, over bars 1 to 4, move from about 250 up to 450 Hz. Over bars 5 to 8, move from 450 up to 800 Hz. Finally, export a 16-bar idea and check it in two places, headphones for sub-feel, and laptop speakers for texture audibility. The goal is that you can still understand the bass rhythm even when the true sub isn't audible. If you want a couple of quick upgrade options once you're comfortable, try deleting 30 to 50% of the MIDI notes on the texture layer only, so the mids speak on selected its, or sidechain the texture a bit harder than the sub, so the mid layer pumps and dances while the sub stays steady. And one last pro workflow tip, put spectrum on the bass group and use it like a compass. You're not trying to make a flat line. You're looking for a foundation down around 45 to 70 Hz depending on your note, plus a readable ridge somewhere in the 250 Hz to 1K Hz area. Foundation plus ridge, that's the shape. Recap, you made a warm, mono-signed sub with operator, gentle saturation and utility. You made a separate texture layer that's high-passed, lightly distorted, filtered, and optionally widened. You sidechained it so the kick stays clean, and you arranged it so the intro teases and the drop opens up without changing the MIDI. When you're ready, tell me your root note and whether your drums are more two-step or break-led, and I can suggest a crossover point and a bass rhythm that typically locks perfectly with that style.